The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with big stars and big statement. Will Devontae regret choosing his new quarterback over his old one? Meanwhile, if you could choose one quarterback to start your team with, which of these superstars would you select? That's the question. We'll have the answer. And then speaking of stars, man on a mission. Is it Super Bowl or bust for the Bucs and Tampa Tom? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you starting right now. Hope you had a great weekend. Delighted you've gotten up on a Monday. Look at the squad. Graziano is ready to go. Tannenbaum's got his steps in early in a schwitz outside. We got Sam Acho has gotten up with us early this morning. Oh, and Woj was dropping a bomb overnight, and that's exactly where it's going to begin. Adrian Wojnarowski with late news last night that could be fascinating and involves that man, Kevin Durant. Woj, we give it right to you. What is the very latest on KD?
Greeny, the Boston Celtics have emerged among the teams engaged with Brooklyn on a possible Kevin Durant trade. A potential deal with Boston would center around
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hard to put into words just how disappointing it is that that breaks up in exactly that moment. Let me tell you what Woj was about to say, and that is that a possible trade for Kevin Durant, and let us caution, he is not suggesting this is on the verge of happening anytime in the next 10 minutes, but that amongst the contenders for the Boston, for the Kevin Durant right now are the Boston Celtics, and that one of the reasons that they emerge as a team of interest is because they could put Jaylen Brown in a trade. I read his entire story. It suggests that the Celtics have taken Jason Tatum and suggested he is off limits, but that Jaylen Brown might be a possibility. I'm told that it is a possibility. We'll have Woj back. Let's try it again. Woj, pick it up from there.
That's right, Greeny. And listen, Boston is among, you know, several teams that have been in regular contact with Brooklyn, I'm told. And, you know, obviously, you know, if you are the Boston Celtics, you know, there's a couple factors here that make the Kevin Durant talks interesting. Number one, you know, Boston potentially has the pieces to be competitive with anybody in the league in a Kevin Durant trade. And obviously, they're a team that believes they're close, that Kevin Durant could put them over the top. Obviously, they swept the Nets in their first-round playoff series last season. And, of course, lost to the Golden State Warriors in the finals. But again, you know, Jaylen Brown potentially, when you look at individual players that might be available to the Nets in the marketplace, he's at the very top, 25 years old, although there's only 2 years left on his contract. Of course, there's 4 years left on Durant's deal. And again, you know, Boston's no closer right now than anybody else for a potential deal with the Nets. But certainly they're engaged, they're interested, and it's a conversation that's been ongoing as we head now into the fourth week, or as we're approaching the fourth week since Kevin Durant requested a trade from Brooklyn on June 30th.
Exactly. And actually, of all the sentences in your story and the teams that we know have been engaged, Phoenix, Miami, Toronto, now Boston, and we'll see what else happens from here. Of all the sentences that I read in your story, Woj, the one that was most interesting to me, because I've been asking you this question for weeks now, is that Durant has not in any way backed off of or obviously changed his stance on wanting to be traded out of Brooklyn. And that in and of itself, I think, felt like news.
Yeah, listen, of course, Brooklyn, they don't want to trade Kevin Durant. This is perhaps the best player in the league, 33 years old. He'll be 34 when the season starts, but clearly still at the apex of his talent. And in a perfect world, the Nets would bring back Kevin Durant, pair him, of course, with Kyrie Irving, and then see how it all looks with Ben Simmons once he's healthy and playing again for the Nets. But again, you know, Brooklyn is continuing to try to find a deal for Durant, but with 4 years left on his deal, they don't have to rush in to any trade, and they want to get back what they want back, which is essentially a massive slash historic haul for Kevin Durant. Listen, we'll see as they get potentially closer to training camp and what that would look like to have to bring this group back together, specifically Kevin Durant. But right now, Brooklyn, listen, they want to do a deal on their terms. But there's no question that Boston is a team intrigued with the possibility of trying to land Kevin Durant.
I think intrigued is a perfect word to describe the situation. Woj, awesome as always. We'll have Mark Jackson with his reaction to this and the rest of the NBA news a little later in the program. In the meantime, to the NFL we go, where rookies and vets have reported to training camp for the Bills, for the Jaguars, for the Rams, and for the Raiders. Those are the camps that are open so far. And let's focus for a moment on Las Vegas, if we can. Their offseason prize, Devontae Adams, raised some eyebrows with some comments he made about his old quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and his new quarterback, Derek Carr. Listen to this.
Anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment.
Okay, so again, this was what he later described as a clarification of the initial comments. Not that they really needed to be clarified, but he said, why is Derek not a Hall of Famer? What I meant, I left one key word out of there because that's not exactly what I meant. I do think Derek's career is Hall of Fame worthy, and why not? Does he have the MVPs right now? No. Has he won a Super Bowl? Not yet. But what I meant to say was, even if you go Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's an adjustment. I wasn't saying Hall of Famer Aaron to Hall of Famer Derek, so I'm not retracting my statement at all. That seems like a lot of explanation for something that really didn't need to be explained. But one way or another, let us set up our first burning question this morning. We're going to have a variety of them. There's Sacha ready to go, Graziano. But Tannenbaum, I'm going to start it with you. We've talked a lot about how much Aaron Rodgers might miss Devontae Adams. Here's today's question. How much is Adams going to miss Aaron Rodgers?
A lot more than he realizes, because he will be double-teamed when he gets off the bus. He will be double-teamed in pregame. He will be double-teamed all the time. They aren't as good at the skill position players that Green Bay has had over the years, and Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great. Derek Carr has led the NFL in turnovers in the fourth quarter in overtime. There is a massive difference in the skill set between Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr.
I understand that. I need to push back on the first part of that. They have Darren Waller at tight end. They have Hunter Renfrow in the slot. They have Josh Jacobs, who was a first-round pick at running back. Those are pretty good weapons around Devontae Adams.
Right, but when you look over the years, what Green Bay has had from when they were in the prime, the Jordy Nelsons, the Randall Cobbs, all the running backs, Aaron Rodgers was prolific at getting the ball to receivers in certain spots, and I think that's one of the reasons Devontae Adams emerged. I just don't think Derek Carr has that sort of football acumen, and I think all the opposing defenses will say, we have to take Devontae Adams out of this offense more than anybody else.
Graziano, what do you think?
In the last 3 years, Devontae Adams has been targeted on one out of every three routes he's run, which is the highest percentage, or 32.4%, the highest percentage of any receiver in the league. Like, Green Bay leaned hard on him. The names you mentioned, the Jordy Nelsons, Randall Cobbs, have not been there the last 3 or 4 years. So Rodgers was leaning on him to an extent that no other quarterback was leaning on any receiver. So I do think he will, I think his numbers will be down as a result, because I think Derek Carr has other places he can go with the ball, whereas I don't think Aaron Rodgers over the last 3-4 years has felt that way about his receiving core. And so I think Adams might enjoy having teammates that are more viable options to catch passes.
Let me go to Sacho on this, because Tannenbaum, I'll get back to you in a minute. Sacho, how much is Devontae Adams going to miss Aaron Rodgers?
Not as much as people think. To the point of Mike T's point about, man, he's got no other weapons or he's not going to be targeted as much. Derek Carr targeted Hunter Renfrow last year because that was his main weapon. And Hunter Renfrow had a Pro Bowl year, went over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. Derek Carr, the 2 years before, targeted Darren Waller at tight end. And Darren Waller, those 2 years before, was number 2 in receptions when it comes to being a tight end, all behind Travis Kelce. So Derek Carr is going to target who Derek Carr wants to target. And right now, Derek Carr is going to want to target Devontae Adams. They're college roommates, or college teammates. The relationship is there. And so all that is great. And so for me, I'm not worried at all about Devontae Adams, not necessarily for this year, but also for the future. The reason he made this move wasn't just for this year. He wanted a quarterback that could help him fulfill his Hall of Fame career for the foreseeable future.
That I think is the point here, that this was a decision that perhaps Devontae Adams made with the long term in mind,
yeah,
which is to suggest for one season, no one, including him, and this his whole capitulation about this Hall of Fame conversation, no one at this moment is going to choose Derek Carr over Aaron Rodgers. But there's a lot of unknown after this year in Green Bay at the quarterback position, and that doesn't exist. But let's just deal in the moment. Derek Carr right this minute versus Aaron Rodgers. Some might suggest they're light years apart. Some might say, it's closer than you think. Sounds to me like you have a very definitive opinion on that.
At best, Greedy, he's the third best quarterback in the AFC West, and maybe the fourth back. I mean, you have Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. Russell Wilson's really good. He's just dealing with a rookie head coach. So there's going to be growing pains with Devontae Adams, that he's going from an A maybe to a B, B minus. And again, my point is he will be the focal point of every defensive game plan, that they're going to take him out of the game. And that is a big adjustment for him, not being with an A quarterback. And to me, while he's maybe in the right place long term, this year is not going to go great for him.
Okay, I want to make sure that we're all understanding, because both Graziano and I can see he's thinking to himself, what are you talking about? All Aaron Rodgers did was throw the ball to Devontae. And what you're saying is that no matter what the defense is doing, Aaron Rodgers could beat it,
absolutely,
even if they wanted to take Devontae Adams away. And you're telling me Derek Carr may not have that ability.
That's exactly right. Aaron Rodgers can make plays off schedule. I just don't think Derek Carr has that ability. And when he sees that safety over the top of Devontae Adams, he's going to go to the next progression.
I mean, I almost feel silly because, like, I'm not arguing that Derek Carr has similar ability to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he does, but I think you're underrating Devontae Adams' ability to get open. I mean, this is a guy who, when
yes,
I talk to defensive backs, they consistently say this is the hardest cover in the league because of the way he releases off the ball, because of the way he can. So I think he has an ability to get open, and I just don't understand how he's going to draw more defensive attention than he has the last couple of years in Green Bay, when he's been, you know, literally Hall of Fame level productive.
And let me go back to Sacho for a final. Go ahead, Sacho. You're like, go.
I'll say this. Don't even talk to defensive backs. Talk to receivers. Even receivers, guys like Justin Jefferson, they still say Devontae Adams is the best in the league at what he does. Getting off the ball, his releases are uncanny. They're unbelievable. And so for me, like, there's a lot of, like, I understand Derek Carr's touchdown interception ratio has been very, very subpar. But he's 5th in the NFL in passing yards. He was number 5 in passing yards. The ball will be thrown in the air, and Devontae Adams will be catching it because of the other weapons that are around him. He didn't have those in Green Bay.
I think they're a sneaky, interesting team. We talked about this last week, and we'll see. I know I'm kind of – last week, at least, I was on an island. We'll see if I stay there. But like most geniuses, I won't be fully appreciated until long after my time. Speaking of genius, Tom Brady spent 40 days retired this offseason. Then he came back. Would anything short of a trip to the Super Bowl be considered a disappointment for Brady and the Bucs? We'll answer that question. And then back to Rodgers we go. He lost his favorite target in the offseason, and then he got more bad news this weekend. Why this might be the one loss he can't overcome. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. Meantime, did you see this yesterday? Leonard Fournette, he's got a sense of humor about it. There's been a lot made about how he had showed up very heavy to training camp. Reports that he gained 30 pounds, so he posted that photo yesterday. Saying camp in 2 days, love y'all, I'm off. So he's got a sense of humor about it. Mike Tannenbaum, you're laughing. Now, I have a feeling if you were the general manager of his team, you would not find him being 30 pounds overweight quite so funny.
Greedy, he made a business decision. He saw what tight ends make. Gronk retired. He's moving from running back to tight end.
It's a good business. Here you go. All right, you always leave it to Tannenbaum to jump in with. But one way or another, it does sort of lead us to the Buccaneers, and that could bring us to our next burning question today, because Tom Brady comes back. He retired for 40 days. I'm old enough to remember when he was retired.
Yeah, remember that?
And so the question then becomes, with him returning like this, is anything short of another trip to the Super Bowl a failure for this team?
I'm not one who tends to like to believe that anyway, about any team, right? I think you can have positive things come out of a season. I'm sure Tom Brady, with his Super Bowl experience, would answer yes, right? Mm-hmm. Anything less than that's a failure. But I think the Bucs could come out of this season with some positive things to build on, even if they don't win the Super Bowl. I mean, this is Todd Bowles' second chance as a head coach. Right? If he has a big year and gets in deep into the playoffs, I mean, that's something he can build on in terms of his continued career as a head coach. So this is a Buccaneers team that's going to be confronting life after Brady at some point soon, and I think it's possible, even if they don't win it all this year, they could come out of it with something to build on.
Sacho, Super Bowl or bust in Tampa this year?
No, not even close. Tom Brady, let's just talk about Tom Brady first. Tom Brady has a 10-year, $375 million contract waiting for him no matter what happens this year. He also has the Miami Dolphins supposedly interested no matter what happens at the end of this year, number one. Number two, Tom Brady accomplished the assignment of why he came to Tampa Bay. He already won a Super Bowl. His first year in Tampa, he shows up with all these players that you see, the Chris Godwins, the Mike Evans, all these guys. Todd Bowles was there too. They already won one. And so for me, yes, Tom Brady's on your team. Of course, you have a Super Bowl chance every year. But it's not Super Bowl or bust for that reason and for that reason alone.
You see on your screen there, the Buccaneers are the favorites, according to Caesars, to win the NFC this year. Mike?
They should be. They have a great defense. We don't talk about their defense enough. And they got a great head coach in Todd Bowles. I work with Todd at the Jets. He is going to be, I think, better than Bruce Arians. And for Tom Brady to come back, it is about the Super Bowl.
Here's the reason. Stand by. Why did you just make that face, Sacho? Go.
Well, okay, so I played for Todd Bowles, too, and Todd Bowles is an unbelievable coach. But we cannot say, Mike T, that Tampa Bay is the favorite when the L.A. Rams last year had a quarterback who led the NFL in interceptions in Matthew Stafford, a defense that was 15th overall, right? And a running game that was in the low 20s or high 20s, and they still won the Super Bowl. That team has gotten better. They added Allen Robinson. That team defensively added Bobby Wagner. So the LA Rams, for me, are hands down the favorite in the NFC, and they should be. So we can't just sit here and be like, well, because Tom Brady's there. Nah, dude, Gronk isn't there. Chris Godwin's still injured. Not first year head coach, but first time in this new team being a head coach, Todd Bowles. And so for me, there are so many question marks in Tampa Bay where there aren't those question marks that you have that at least in LA.
I'm with you. The only thing I would say is that the answer to most questions is Tom Brady, and they have that in Tampa, and no one else does. Yeah. Let's see where they go. Let's go to Brady's old team, though, because that's our next stop here. The Patriots announced last week that they've decided to move forward without an official offensive or defensive coordinator. Now, Plaxico Burress, who is a former Super Bowl champion player, had some pretty strong words on what he thinks of Bill Belichick and that decision. Listen.
There's no way during the week Bill Belichick can be an offensive meeting and a defensive meeting at the same time. It's plain and simple. You have to have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator if you want to run an offense or a defense. He can be the head coach, but he can't do both at the same time.
That's all interesting. And I mean, people are so hesitant to question Bill Belichick because he's got the ultimate answer to almost anything. But is there something to what he says there?
No. And I saw it firsthand working at the Jets. I saw Bill Parcells, the head coach, go to offensive meetings, defensive meetings, be the play caller on game day. And all we did is win games, go to the championship game. Bill Belichick could do that. And he oversees all facets of the organization, offense, defense, special teams, personnel. So while I love my man Plaxico, he played well for us in New York, I totally see it differently than he does.
Let me get the players in on this. Sacho, how about it? How about the idea that even Bill, that there's an amount that even Bill Belichick could bite off that he can't chew?
I don't agree with that premise. I think you can still do both. There are so many offenses you look at that have a pseudo offensive coordinator, right? They have the title, but the head coach is still calling the plays. Similar defensively, even in Tampa, right? Todd Bowles, he's going to be the head coach, but he may be calling the plays defensively, even though there's a defensive coordinator in place. And so, yes, you can definitely do both. You can be a head coach and be involved in the offense and be involved in the defense as well.
How about it, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as we need to respect Plaxico Burress's head coaching experience and all the accomplishments that he has attained, I think it's fair to question what he's talking about. When I'm talking to people there all offseason about how this is going to work, it's interesting. They acknowledge that it's interesting. But they say, look, when Charlie Weiss left and Josh McDaniels became offensive coordinator, Belichick spent more time in the offensive room helping that transition along. When McDaniels left to go to Denver and Bill O'Brien took over, same thing. So they're equating it to that. Also, think about this. On the defensive side, there's a lot of continuity on the coaching staff. You have Gerard Mayo, who was interviewing for head coach jobs in January and is likely to get one at some point in the next couple of years. You have Belichick's son. These guys have been in charge of the defense for a while now. So if he has to pull away from that and spend some time helping make sure Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, with their defensive and special teams backgrounds, are getting up and running as offensive coaches, I think he's going to be able to spare that time.
Fair enough. So the burning question here, Tannenbaum, Patriots, if you had to bet that palatial estate of yours down there in Boca Raton, are they more likely to make or miss the playoffs?
Absolutely make. I think Mac Jones is getting a lot better in his second year. They went to the playoffs with him as a rookie. So I think their future is really bright, actually, because they have some young skill players on offense. And defensively, as Dan alluded to, they do have some continuity there. So I think they're the second best team in the AFC East.
They were last year, obviously, and you were high on Mac Jones. You were going into this, and now you continue to be that way. How about it, Sacho? More likely to make or miss the playoffs, New England?
I'll go make, and the reason why is that last year with the rookie quarterback was probably their best chance to, quote, miss the playoffs. They're trying to figure out Cam Newton, Mac Jones. Mac took the job, and they still made the playoffs. And so you're going into year two. I get it. No, quote, offensive coordinator, but you have a revived Mac Jones, a Mac Jones who understands how to get his body into shape to finish strong at the end of the season rather than tail off at the end of the season.
What do you think, Raj?
I went with miss here because, and it's tough. I mean, I saw on the screen earlier it said 51% chance to make it. So that's right. I think that's about right. But the reason I say this is not to downgrade Mac Jones, who they are very high on, just the rest of the conference, right? I mean, like, you have any and all of the four teams in the North could make it. Any and all of the four teams in the West could make it. So I think the musical chairs kind of run out quickly. There is some change there that has to be navigated.
I'm with you. Put them in the NFC and they'd be amongst the favorites. Put them in the AFC and there's no easy spot at that dance. We continue in just a moment. We're getting back to Devontae Adams. He's gone. The offensive coordinator is gone for Denver. Now one of the best blockers is hurting as well. How much is too much to ask even of Aaron Rodgers? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up. Dan Graziano in our studio. Let's run the hurry up. A bunch of news out there, beginning in Cleveland.
Yeah, look, it's been more than 3 weeks since the Deshaun Watson hearing concluded. A lot of people expecting a decision to potentially come down this week in terms of discipline, how long, if at all, he will be suspended to start the season. Remember, discipline officer Sue L. Robinson, this is her first case as NFL discipline officer, so it's hard to predict. But don't be surprised if something does come down this week. It seems like a lot of people around the situation want this decided before camp starts. A couple of very important players put on physically unable to perform lists as camp opens, including Darius Leonard, the star linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. He's coming off of back surgery. The team has not established a timetable for his return. This is a key piece to a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. So keep an eye on Darius Leonard as camp goes along. They want to get him back in practice, obviously, as soon as he is able. Same with David Bakhtiari, the left tackle in Green Bay. Remember, he tore his ACL. Now, at the end of December of 2020, it's been 19 months since that injury. He played in one game last year, and he starts camp on the physically unable to perform list. The hope was that he would be ready for the start of training camp. And while you can take a guy off PUP at any time, during training camp, and he could be back early, the fact that he has to start on PUP is discouraging if you're a Packers fan.
Absolutely. And so that's back-to-back players of which you could say the same thing, that this is a key piece to a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. And as you were telling that, let's not overreact to this. This doesn't mean he's going to miss the start of the season. You just laid it out well. This could mean that he's back long before even preseason games begin. But it does beg the question, how many times can we just say, well, they have Aaron Rodgers, so they'll be fine. I get that he's the most talented player maybe ever at the position. But you just keep taking pieces away, including his favorite receiver, his best offensive lineman now. Is there going to come a point? Could there come a point where we say to ourselves, you know what? Even Aaron Rodgers isn't overcoming all of this.
We can't, because you just, Greeny, laid out the definition of greatness. He makes people around you better. And maybe early on, they run the ball more. They have two really good running backs in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So it's really interesting, but you just said what greatness is about. He makes those around you better. Maybe it's Sammy Watkins. Maybe it's Christian Watson. But that's why Aaron Rodgers is so good. He can survive these sort of transitions. And Bakhtiari has only played in 13 games in 2 years.
Right, I understand. And look, Sacho, the way it was once put to me is the great quarterbacks put a lot of other people's kids in private school. I understand that completely. But it is asking a lot, even of Aaron Rodgers at this stage. Is there a point at which you're going to become concerned in Green Bay?
Well, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers. They'll be fine. you think I'm joking, but I'm serious. Without Davante Adams, in the Matt LaFleur era, the last seven games, right, Aaron Rodgers is 7-0 without Davante Adams. 7-0, 19 touchdowns, one interception, 2,049 passing yards. You extrapolate that and do that over a 17-game season, that's 4,900 passing yards. That's something like 50 almost touchdowns, 46 touchdowns, two picks. Aaron Rodgers without David Bakhtiari is also 19-6, 64 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I've played against Aaron Rodgers without the greats. I played against him when I was with the Bears without David Bakhtiari. I thought we were going to win. We lost. I played against him without Davante Adams. I thought we were going to win. We lost. Aaron Rodgers knows how to win games without his best weapons, and that's what gets me excited, and that's why everybody has voted him as MVP.
I get it. And again, he's a force multiplier. He's everything. He's Aaron. No one is questioning him, Graziano, but There has to be some level of concern of when you just keep taking away the most important pieces.
Because what are we talking about when we talk about the Packers? We're talking about, can they win in the playoffs, right? I mean, can Aaron Rodgers get you 11, 12, 13 wins in the regular season? Of course he can, because you're not playing a playoff team every week. And if you make a single mistake, Aaron Rodgers will pick you apart, and that could be the deciding thing for the game. But you get into the postseason and you're playing those teams, they have fallen short. So you have to be at your absolute best as a team in those situations. And if they continue to lose pieces, look, yeah, can he overcome Bakhtiari? Yes. Can he overcome Adams? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. But eventually, I mean, you know, there's going to be other injuries as the year goes along. And if the team is not right around him, I think we've seen that they can't meet their goals, which are lofty.
Right. Where are all the people who keep telling me, this isn't tennis, Greeny, this isn't golf, Greeny, it's not just the quarterback, he needs other help around him and all that, but except for Rodgers. Rodgers, what I feel like I'm gleaning from what everyone has been telling me is Rodgers is playing tennis. Everyone else is playing football, but he can do it all by himself.
And he could do it because he's in the NFC North. If he was in the AFC, maybe they couldn't. And the other thing, what's fascinating to me, guys, is what does the Packer offense look like early in the season? Are they much more balanced until some of these receivers get acclimated, like Watson or Watkins? Like, to me, that's a really fascinating part of this dynamic.
The NFC North argument is the best one I've heard so far. That the reality is he might win that division with nine or ten games.
But they've had the one seed the last 2 years,
right,
and they still haven't gotten to the Super Bowl. So what are we discussing here? Yes, I think they'll win the North without much trouble, but is that enough?
Let's see where they are when we get to January. So that's one quarterback who was lost his most important weapon. Let's get to another quarterback who lost his most important weapon. Patrick Mahomes will go into this season without Tyreek Hill, who, as you are obviously aware, was traded to Miami in March. The Chiefs will look to replace him by committee. It's one that includes Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster. So the burning question for you, Sam Acho, is Mahomes able to continue to be dynamic? Will this offense continue to be just as good without the superstar Tyreek Hill?
Yes, I think it will. And I think the reason why is not only because of Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who since 2018 has led the NFL in yards per catch, but I think it's because Patrick Mahomes had a down year last year and still threw for 4,800 yards. So imagine if he has like a normal year, right? Take out the interceptions and all the drops that we saw early on in the season when a lot of people were saying that the Kansas City Chiefs were struggling. And so that's number one. Number two, add Ronald Jones at running back, who's effective and efficient at running back, improve the running game. But number three, I said at the beginning, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's him and Tyreek Hill when it comes to speed and yards per catch. Now, granted, it's a small sample size. I'm not sitting here and saying this is going to be the next Tyreek Hill, but that's why they brought him into this system. Pair him in with Travis Kelce. You have a deep threat, a guy who knows how to get yards after catch. I think it's going to be super effective.
What do you think, Tannenbaum?
I think they're going to be totally different. I think their yards per attempt goes down. I think Patrick Mahomes' completion percentage goes up. I think Ronald Jones is a great pick in fantasy football because he's great out of the backfield. Smith-Schuster, I think we're going to see a lot more long handoffs. They're going to be just fine, but they're going to look different.
Say that again. Rojo, because a lot of people out there starting to think about fantasy drafts, maybe someone who doesn't go right up near the top of it that could be a sneaky good pick.
He is prolific out of the backfield, and I think when we look at this offense, the ball is going to go to the backs in the passing game, and he's someone that, to me, is a little bit under the radar in terms of fantasy football.
Interesting. That's not a name I've heard a lot as we've talked about the build-up to Kansas City. Dan, what about you?
Look, there's no replacing Tyreek Hill. Like, he does things that other people can't do, and he's unique. But Andy Reid and the Chiefs coaching staff know this. Like, they're not going to try and they're not going to just ask Marquez Valdez-Scantling to do what Tyreek Hill did because they know he's not going to be able to do that. So they made a lot of adjustments last year. Remember when early in the season when teams were playing that two deep stuff and they had to adjust, and Mahomes was talking about, I need to do a better job of taking the underneath stuff that's available. They did it. They got better as the season went along, and I think they can draw on that experience. Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, I mean, you know, Matt Nagy's on his coaching staff. Like, these are people who have experience scoring points and in Kansas City, and I think they'll figure it out.
The other thing, though, last year they were completely unwilling, and you're always with us here on Tuesdays when Jeff Saturday is here. They're unwilling to run the ball. They won't do it, right? Saturday likes to – that might really be – and that, I think that's what you were saying here about balance – is might we see Kansas City actually run the ball a little bit?
If they feel like they can, right? I mean, the first-round pick from a couple of years ago is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He has not become the player that they hoped he would be when they made that pick. Ronald Jones, they still have Jerick McKinnon there. I think they're more likely to use the backs as receivers, to Mike's point.
Quickly.
Sky Moore, second-round pick. Mel Kiper loved in the draft. It may take him a little time, Greeny, but again, he could be a guy in the back half of the year to see this offense evolve and still be explosive.
All right, we'll see if everything remains up to date in Kansas City. In the meantime, baseball game of the day yesterday. Take a look at the action, a game of the night, and it began early. How about this? We got a little ping pong action working early on, and that's Pete Alonso getting the hand-eye ready, and then, boy, it would pay dividends. Bottom of six, bam. Polar Bear goes deep off Joe Musgrove. That's a slider that didn't slide. A three-run shot. But Pete Alonso takes over the RBI lead in the majors from Aaron Judge. Those guys play each other beginning tomorrow. We're still in the sixth. That's Luis Guillorme. That one's going to get down, drive in a run. Mets will take a 4-1 lead. Bottom of seven, their lead is 5-1. Alonso is back at the plate with runners at the corners. And this one, oh, he got it. It might be. It could be. Actually, it isn't. Not going to get out of the ballpark, but it is going off the wall. Marte will score. Alonso finishes at second. He was 2-for-3, 4 ribs and a homer. Mets get a win, 8-5, leading into their series against the Yankees. Speaking of the Yankees, Thursday night, ESPN Films' 7-part docuseries, The Captain, continues with episodes 3 and 4, deep look into Derek Jeter's life and career on and off the field, 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And if you miss part 1 or 2, you can always catch them on ESPN Plus whenever you would like. As we continue, after some off-season departures, CeeDee Lamb is now Dak Prescott's go-to guy. Is he ready for that job? You'll find out next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back on Get Up. So I've been asking the burning questions so far, and now I've asked the crew to ask theirs. Sacho, what is your burning question as training camps begin?
Will the Minnesota Vikings be able to steal the NFC North from the Green Bay Packers? You have Kevin O'Connell coming in from the LA Rams, going to be the new head coach. Justin Jefferson, dynamic. Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, and then a revamped defense. Ed Donatello, defensive coordinator. You draft guys like Andrew Booth. You draft guys like Lewis Cine. I'm excited to see what they do in close games this year as opposed to what they couldn't do in close games last year.
I really like that one as a question. Mike T, you're next.
Baker Mayfield, please learn from your mistakes. Our league is littered with great stories of the resurrection of quarterbacks going to greener pastures. Vinny Testaverde, Rich Gannon, Carson Palmer. It was bumpy in Cleveland for whatever reason. Some was your fault, some was Cleveland. You have a fresh start, good organization. You actually have some good young skill players, including Christian McCaffrey. Learn from your experience, embrace the opportunity.
I like that too. Testaverde and Carson Palmer were also the first pick in their drafts. Graziano, how about you?
Can CeeDee Lamb be a number one wide receiver? This is a Cowboys team that lost Amari Cooper this offseason. Michael Gallup coming back off of a major injury. Lamb was drafted 2 years ago in the first round with the expectation that he could be this kind of player. This is the first year he really has to be. We'll see if he can take that next step.
Well, and so that's your winner. I like all of the questions, but Graziano knows how to play the game. We got a Cowboys kid. Because it is, I think, a fascinating one. We've talked about about all the pieces that Aaron Rodgers, I was just bemoaning the pieces that he has lost. We talk about the piece that Patrick Mahomes lost. How about the pieces that Dak Prescott has lost in Dallas?
It's about 40% of the offense between Amari Cooper, Cedric Wilson, and we know Michael Gallup's not going to be 100%. So we talked earlier about the definition of greatness, Greeny. This is the opportunity for Dak Prescott to show his greatness. They have to survive early until Gallup comes back and is 100%, and maybe they run the ball more. Maybe it's Tony Pollard, maybe it's Zeke. But this is an opportunity for Dak Prescott to take the next step.
Well, I think it's a really – it's an excellent question. Phrasing it in the form of a question is great because we're not making the statement that C.D. Lamb can't be. We're asking the question, can he be? He was drafted almost as a luxury, right? They had all these pieces, and he just fell to them in their spot. It felt like a luxury. Now he's a necessity in that offense.
Right. And look, he was drafted right after they signed Amari Cooper to the contract. So they knew the way that contract was built, Cooper would probably be gone in 2 years. So it made some sense, especially how much they liked the player. But, yeah, I mean, this is what you're supposed to do, right? Draft and develop. And when you move on from a player, somebody steps in and replaces him. I'm not as concerned about CeeDee Lamb as I am about the health issues on their offensive line. That to me is my biggest issue with the Cowboys offense.
There are a lot of questions there, but let's focus on this one, Sacho. Is C.D. Lamb ready to become an elite NFL receiver, like a top flight, one of the really, really big guys in the sport?
Man, I think he could be a number one. Elite is only time can tell. Can you win one-on-one against Jalen Ramsey consistently? When I think elite, that's what I'm thinking about, right? So I think he can be a number one. But my question really is for the Cowboys, who's going to be your number two? Who's going to be your number three? Is it going to be James Washington, who came over from Pittsburgh, Oklahoma State phenom, right? Biletnikoff Award winner. Who's going to take that part over? I think... Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know if he can be number one consistently without other weapons on the outside. When you're a number one receiver, you're gonna get double teamed. You're gonna get bracketed. And will you be able to handle those doubles and those brackets? That's really my main concern with this offense with no other weapons.
It's a fascinating situation, and it is an opportunity. Now, you just did your little, please Baker, figure everything out. And there have been questions about Baker that don't exist about Dak Prescott, his leadership, his design, all that stuff. I'm not suggesting that. But it is a great opportunity, I think, here for Dak Prescott to step up. When you have that star on your helmet, there's always all these questions. He has a great opportunity to take that next step this year.
Right, and as the guys mentioned, maybe it's James Washington. Maybe James Washington was a B that he makes a B+. We don't know who it's going to be. That's the great part of the NFL. Someone's going to need to step up for the Dallas Cowboys. And to Dan's point, this offensive line has to stay healthy. They drafted Tyler Smith in the first round. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I think that's it. And look, they can get creative, right? Like, I think you talk about Tony Pollard running the ball more. I think Tony Pollard's going to catch the ball more. I think they might use him more as a receiver. And Zeke Elliott, assuming he's healthy. But, yeah, I think that's – are they deep enough, to Acho's point, on the outside, right? Amari Cooper is not – nothing. That's an excellent route runner and an excellent player that they have to replace.
Absolutely. So we'll see what the questions, how the questions come back answered in Dallas. Meanwhile, I have one more for you here, and we'll sort of put this in the form of the Jets we'll talk about. Zach Wilson enters his second season as the Jets quarterback, coming off what was, I think by everyone's account, a very impressive offseason. They had a great draft. They spent a bunch of money, and at least to this point, it would appear wisely and in the areas of concern in free agency. And so we'll sort of frame this as a change my mind, but I'm going to put it in the form of a question. Look, anyone who watches this show or has paid any attention to me over the years, you know where my loyalties are and you know what my concerns are. And so I'll just ask you guys the question that I feel like everyone keeps asking me. Is it possible that they've actually gotten it right? Is it possible that the New York Jets, the team that basically, Tannenbaum, since you left, have done nothing but gotten it wrong? Is it possible they've gotten it right?
No. Zach Wilson was last in the NFL in completion percent. Unless he has a Josh Allen meteoric rise in improvement in completion percent. When you complete 55.6% of your passes, you can't win football games. I agree. They had a great offseason. They had a great draft. All the other pieces are there, Greeny. But when you're 32 out of 32 quarterbacks in completing the football in a passing league, it's really hard to win.
This guy was drafted second overall, yes, ahead of all these other guys. Obviously, he knows how to do this or has some ability to do it. They surrounded him with people who were unable to help him do it last year. Are you telling me that you have given up? It sounds to me like you're suggesting that the biggest – I understand the biggest question mark is the quarterback, but it sounds to me like you're already saying you don't think he can do it.
Well, it's a great of incomplete. He's only going through his second year. I've said that. I'll say now. I would have taken Mac Jones over him, and at best, he's the third best quarterback in the AFC. So while there's a lot of other really good pieces around him, when your quarterback struggles to complete the ball, it just puts a ceiling on your offense.
Doesn't sit well with me that was the most definitive answer you gave me all day, right? By the way, we're sitting here 50 minutes, I'm asking him question after question, and you're equivocating, and you've got a lot to say. And then the Jets, no, done, boom. And I know, without even a thought given to it, Graziano, yell at him.
I think it's, you know, you say great of incomplete. That's the way I look at the Jets, right? Because they bring in Zach Wilson, who, young rookie quarterback last year, also not super experienced coming out of college, right? Didn't have, COVID and whatever else happened as they were finishing college. The coaching staff, incredibly inexperienced, right? Robert Saleh, first-time head coach. Mike LaFleur, a first-time offensive coordinator. There was not a veteran presence in that locker room to help Zach Wilson or on that coaching staff. So they're all learning together. So I think you almost have to look at this as another building year. I know the coaching staff was happy that they were able to get Zach Wilson, a little under control as the season went along, not play so much hero ball down the field, play a little safer, but they're going to have to evolve beyond that, and it remains to be seen whether the entire group can do that together.
I would also like a meeting with whoever it was that put together that reel of highlights from Zach Wilson. He did have six good plays last year. Why didn't we show those? Sancho, go.
Hey, I'm with Mike T on this one, Greeny. I'm sorry. That reel was just what happened last year. They were 32nd in defense last year. Robert Saleh is a defensive-minded coach. I get excited about the moves that the New York Jets made. I get excited about Garrett Wilson at receiver. I get excited about Breece Hall, Jermaine Johnson. All these moves get me excited. What doesn't get me excited is about the division they play in. They're playing in a division where the New England Patriots, coached by Bill Belichick, is the second-best team in that division. And then go to their schedule. They got Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, Dolphins. They got Patriots in there. They got the Bills in there. They go the Patriots again. This schedule gets me frustrated if I'm a Jets fan, as excited as I can be. Right? Dolphins, Packers, Broncos I left out. This is not an exciting first 10 games. And so for me, yes, you're getting better if you're the New York Jets, but what does better mean when you're playing against the Bills? You're playing against the Patriots, and then the Dolphins are also getting better.
That's reasonable. I think that progress has to be measured creatively or incrementally, but I think they could be markedly better without the record being that obviously so. What?
So what would make you happy if we're sitting here in Jet? What would make you happy as a Jet fan?
I mean, let's not even imagine things that might make me happy. Those things are obviously, I've long since given up on them happening. No, I think that they could show market improvement. They could show that the quarterback looks like he was the right pick when they made him. And they could show that they are, I think, to your point, a year away from winning really significant games.
Boy, that schedule.
The schedule is brutal. They open with the entire AFC North because everyone in the world hates us. All right, as we continue in a moment, there was a Woj bomb late last night. It involves that man. It could change absolutely everything in the Eastern Conference. We'll get Woj live and Mark Jackson with reaction in our next hour. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.